The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Please, I'd like you to pay very, very great attention to what I'm about to say. I'll trust God to be as fast as possible before it gets too hot. But I want your focus to be right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 23. He said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. The subject is emotional diseases, part 2. Emotional diseases, part 2. Our objective is to understand the nature of emotional diseases and to understand the solution to emotional diseases. What is the nature of emotional diseases? What is the solution? Paul the Apostle was dealing with the three parts of man, that God will preserve you whole, healthy, your spirit, your soul, your body. Now, we have said earlier on that man is a tripartite being. Man is a three in one being. Three in one. Man is a spirit, lives in a body, and has a soul or mind. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, lives in a body. Any of them could be sick. The sickness of the spirit is sin. The sickness of the mind is a mental ailment. The sickness of the body is the physical ailments of the pain and all of that. But when you come to the mind, the mind of man is also three in one. There are three departments of the mind. The will is department number one, which is the center for choices and decisions. The will. With your will, you make your choices. With your will, you make your decisions. Number two is the intellect, which is a center for learning and intelligence. Number three is the emotion, place for feeling and well-being. The will is for choices, for decisions. The intellect for learning, for intelligence. The emotion for feelings and for well-being. What we want to deal with is that third level, the emotional diseases, emotion. Diseases that have to do with how we feel. In the first service, we looked at number one was fear. And we may not be able to go into all the details, but I want to beg you to get the message on fear. Number two was low self-esteem. That which makes you to feel low about yourself. We looked at that in detail. And I'd like you to pick the message. Number three, we are going to look at, and which is actually number one in this service, is called worry. Worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, all the way to verse 23. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought or worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought, or why worry for raiment or cloth? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, don't worry about what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Somebody say aloud, amen. What is worry? Worry means to feel or cause to feel anxious or troubled. To feel or cause to feel anxious or troubled about actual or potential problems. Feel or cause to feel anxious or troubled about anxious or potential problems. That's Oxford's dictionary. That is, you are feeling troubled, you are feeling anxious about a problem that is real or a problem that you think is coming. It may be an actual problem, it may be a potential problem, but you are already anxious. You are troubled. It's worry. What is the root of worry? Are you ready for this? I will look at three roots. Number one, combining the failures of yesterday, or the failures of the past, with the challenges of the present and the uncertainties of the future. Again, combining the failures of the past with the challenges of the present and the uncertainties of the future. That is worry, is the root of worry. Where what went wrong yesterday is on your mind. What is happening today is on your mind. How tomorrow will be is also on your mind at the same time. It is looking at yesterday and today and tomorrow at the same time. Looking at yesterday, today, and tomorrow at the same time. The outcome of it is pressure. The outcome of it is collapse. The outcome of it is anxiety. Why? Because the human system was wired to handle issues one day at a time. The human system was wired to handle issues one day at a time. Matthew chapter 6 verse 34 said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's worry. Let yesterday go. Put today in the hands of God. And look up to God for tomorrow. What is the root of worry number two? Inaccurate and inadequate information or awareness of the position of things. Inaccurate and inadequate information or awareness of the position of things. That is, you worry because you don't know the total picture. Inaccurate or inadequate information or awareness of the position or the picture of things. Am I communicating? If only you know better, you worry less. If you knew better, you worry less. Let me tell you about inadequate information. Your brother was traveling from Port Harcourt by road to Abuja. When he reached Enugu, you spoke with him. When he reached Itobe, you spoke with him. When he reached Ajokuta, you spoke with him. That was the last time you heard from him. It is 7 hours since you last spoke to him. And you have not heard anything from him. 7 hours. What happened unknown to you was that around Ajokuta, his phone battery died. And as soon as he arrived town, there was an emergency in his office that they called him for. And when he got there, there was still no light to charge his phone. So he had been attending to all these issues. And 7 hours passed. As at that time, you have called the police already. You have called your village already. You have called the intercessors. You have called the home church. You have called, in fact, you have sent text message to senior pastor. I think my brother has been kidnapped. The last time I heard from him was 7 hours ago, and the phone has been switched off. The phone has been switched off. The phone is not answering again. It was battery that died. Later on, by the time you finish all your calls, he arrived to the house. You were busy worrying and he was busy smiling. What is happening? He said, you always make me to have hypertension today. He said, what happened? The last time I spoke with you was around that Jokuta. He said, nothing is wrong. My phone battery died. And it didn't even have any charger to resurrect it. That is a challenge. Why were you worrying? Because of inadequate information. You were worrying about what you didn't need to worry about at all. I'd like you to extrapolate it to every other area of your life. You will be shocked at how many times you wasted your emotion worrying about what you need not worry about. A woman was giving a lab report that she was HIV positive. only for it to be discovered later that it was not her report. It was somebody else's result. Today, I decree every trace of worry, every trace of anxiety is dead right now. Jesse Duplantis went to preach many years ago, and he said at that time, they didn't put pastor hotel, they will put you in either a member's house or the pastor's house or something. And they kept him somewhere, and there was no light in the night. About 3 a.m., he was woken up with the noise of a demon. And as he woke up, he began to bind that demon. It was around the window. When he bound the devil moved a bit, and stood still. He engaged for the next 3 hours, 4 hours, binding and binding and binding until the day broke, only to realize that it was a raincoat that was hanging. The raincoat moves small and small and stood still. And the man said, what kind of devil is this? Get out! He spent the whole of his night binding raincoat. May no devil give you such a useless assignment. May no devil give you such a useless assignment. Look at your neighbor, say, if you know more, you worry less. There is a resources belonging to you that you don't even know about yet. There is a money hanging somewhere, and you are here wondering how tomorrow will be. I announce to you today, what is yours that you are not yet aware of is released into your hands. No devil can resist what is yours. You believe that, shall the Lord say amen. Give the Lord the praise and take your seat. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 9, he said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't know everything. Many of us worry because we just know a part of the story. I see change coming. Number three, the root of worry is the overestimation of the ability of the enemy and his problems. The overestimation of the ability of the enemy and his problems. We think the devil is bigger than who he actually is. The overestimation of the ability of the enemy and his problems. I'm not done yet. And the underestimation of the capability of the Almighty and his solutions. Again, the overestimation of the ability of the enemy and his problems, as well as the underestimation of the capability of the Almighty and his solutions. When the devil and his problem appear so big in our eyes, and God and his solutions appear so small in our eyes, we worry. The devil appears so big and so brutal and so wicked, and God appears so small and so late and so weak in our eyes, we worry. The disciples were worrying about the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. John chapter 6 verse 7 to 10. Because of time, we might not be able to read it. There are 5 loaves here and 2 fishes. But what is that among so many? They were worrying about what will happen to the people and the crowd. And Jesus said, calm down. Let the people sit down. You don't know what I can do. That is why you are worrying about the feeding of the people. Look at your neighbor. Say, no matter what happens, God is bigger than the devil. See, after me, say, the goodness of God is stronger than the wickedness of the devil. Say a louder amen. What is the treatment of worry? What is the solution? Number one, hand over all your care and concerns to the one who alone can handle them. Hand over all your care and concerns to the one who alone can handle them. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hand over all your cares and concerns to the one who alone can handle them. God has enough power, enough wisdom, enough money, enough resources to handle anything that is a concern to you today. Hand over all your cares and concerns. Number two, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own wisdom. Involve him in all your steps and he will guarantee your peace. Again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and rely not on your own wisdom. Involve him in all your steps and he will guarantee your peace. Not worry. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely not on your own wisdom. Involve him in all your steps and he will guarantee your peace. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. That is, Lord, I am about to take this step. I am about to make this move. I am about to embark on a marriage journey. I'm about to embark on a career journey, a spiritual journey, a destiny journey. I don't want to do it on my own. I want to involve you. Most times we worry about things that God is not involved with. We worry about things that God is not involved in. Because if God is involved, Satan may revolve, but he cannot dissolve. He may just go around it. Trust in the Lord. Finally, how do you handle worry? Build faith and confidence in the capability of the Almighty through the Word. Build faith and confidence in the capability of the Almighty through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the Word of God. Build faith and confidence in the capability of the Almighty through the Word. Let the Word of God show you that God is equal to your challenge, equal to your task, equal to your battle. That God is equal to your battle. Let the Word of God show you that. It will dissolve your worry. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Amen. Somebody say the loudest amen. Amen. going to point number four. Emotional disease, and it is called rejection. Rejection. Rejection is a universal challenge of humanity. Well-known people in scripture suffered rejection. David, Psalm 27 verse 10. He said, when my father and my mother reject me, forsake me. He didn't say if, he said when. Which means it was something that was happening. Then the Lord will take me up. When my father and my mother reject me, God takes me up. Paul the apostle suffered rejection. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 all the way to verse 12. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me. Demas has rejected me. Having loved this present world, he has departed unto Thessalonica. Christians also left and went to Galatia. Titus left me and went to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Are you hearing? Paul the giant. Only Luke is with me. Why did he say only if he didn't feel the departure of those people? Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. 12. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Hallelujah. As big as our master Jesus, he also experienced rejection. Psalm 41 verse 9 to 10, that is a messianic psalm, a prophetic psalm, where he was talking about Judas Iscariot, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and praise and raise me up, that I may requite them. Mark 15, 34. My father, why hast thou rejected me? Eloi, Eloi, lamak sabachthani. Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That sounds like he was speaking vernacular from Benue State. Eloi, Eloi, picking matter, picking matter. We'll get the meaning of the rest later. He experienced rejection. So the question is, what is rejection? The Oxford Dictionary defined it as such. It said, a person or thing dismissed as inadequate or unacceptable. When a person or a thing is dismissed as inadequate or unacceptable, it's called rejection. A person or thing dismissed as inadequate or unacceptable. It also means to be abandoned or forsaken. As unwanted or unneeded. You are abandoned, you are forsaken, like you are unwanted or you are unneeded. Abandoned, forsaken, as unwanted, unneeded. The first is the Oxford. Also, it means, the second is mine.
Also, it means to be refused an expected privilege or opportunity. To be refused an expected privilege or opportunity. Maybe what you deserve. Little rejection. I'm sure that there are, I don't know of any human being under this roof or hearing anywhere from the world that has not experienced a rejection at one time or the other, in one area or the other. Am I communicating? So what are the roots and the causes of rejection? Number one, it can come from, number one, the experience of series of refusals or non-acceptance. Series of refusals or non-acceptance. One of the most common ones is when a child is born and the father said, I am not the owner of the child. And the child begins to grow up with a feeling of rejection. Or in fact, those who grow up and don't know their father. I am here by the mercy of God with a therapy today. I'm sure my wife must have experienced this, but I experience it all the time. Anywhere I go. I don't know my father. Pastor, can you be my father? I experienced that in Kenya this year, the other day. I don't have a father. I don't know who to call father. I know you are my spiritual. Can you be my biological father as well? Plenty. I told my wife one day, I said, I feel like holding a mentoral class, a fatherhood and a mentoral class for all those category of people at once. Yes, especially young boys that have no father. Feeling of rejection, feeling unneeded, feeling unwanted. But I am here today to announce in the name of Jesus, anyone who is a victim of such a feeling, it is dying right now. Young lady, refused by one man after another. One relationship, the man said, I won't marry you again. Second relationship, third relationship. Even one, it was more than enough. And there is that feeling of rejection. I am not good enough. I am inadequate. I am not needed. I am not wanted. Even visa refusals. In those days when they used to stamp passports, when they don't give you a visa, in those days, there are people who open their passport 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 refusals. Every time they open the passport, depression from rejection. Especially when you see those you are better than that they are giving visas to. Am I communicating at all? I have seen people who don't have CC in their account. They gave them residency permit, green card, CC. I have seen people who have, they gave visa, they have to look for airfare. They already got the visa, they need money to buy airfare. There is somebody who can pay airfare to any place in the world. And they say it's rejected. So you're wondering, what is it? One man went to the embassy. They say, bring your bank account. He brought the bank account. When they saw it, they say, your money is too much. Where did you get it from? Deny him visa. All the enemy wants is to rob you with a feeling like something is wrong with you. I am here to kill that feeling here this morning. Every spirit of rejection, every spell of rejection, I declare it is over. One of the things I have found very difficult is when a man has a problem with his wife and he extends it to the children. I know a man who is making millions, hundreds of feet, and he has not paid his children's school fees for 4 years. And the wife is struggling to pay school fees. What a man. If you had a problem with your wife, what did the children do? You brought them into the world. Women feel abandoned. Children feel unwanted. Some move out of that, of this woman. He is wife of his youth, wife that labored with him, wife that struggled with him. It is well. It's related with what I'm saying. Wife that struggled with him and steps into a chassis wife, brand new wife, and begins to give birth to another set of children. And this new set of children are now superior to the other one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And they don't know that there is a God who knows how to drive the fly for the cow that has no tail. And these children you think are superior children, under your nose, you will watch how they will become useless tomorrow. And these ones you think they are nothing, that you rejected and kicked out, you will see how God will lift them because there is an unction for rejection. When I speak in this area, I speak with passion and fire because of what I have heard and seen and witnessed, how I have counseled several people, and what I have seen myself in life. Are you following what I'm saying here today? God is the God who accepts all of us. There are those whose business is to make people feel unwanted, feel unneeded, feel devalued, feel unnecessary. Their assignment is to make people feel low. I saw a man who drove his wife because all she delivered were female children. 1, 2, 3. He drove them, drove her, and went and married a woman. And the woman she married, I don't know if she brought forth anything, but in his dying days, that Jezebel, that Delilah that came into the house to destroy the house, was on her own. It is these rejected children. Doctor, judge, different kinds of profession. Girls. You know, there are women that are thicker than men. I was talking with a woman the other day. She had a challenge with her account, and when they opened the account for her, legitimate money she made, I think the balance was in the account, was almost 20 billion. She laid the foundation of a construction, one of her constructions in Lagos, the foundation will be 1 billion because of the foundation. Foundation because of water logging. It's a woman child. Impact is not gender sensitive. The girl you are rejecting today may be your savior tomorrow. I value the woman child so much because I was brought up by a powerful woman. Married to a powerful wife. Betting powerful girls and guys. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today?
Rejection.
Let your assignment and your duty be that anywhere you come across people, value them. Don't be the one the devil will use to make anybody feel unneeded. Don't be the one the devil will use to make anybody feel unwanted. Don't be the one the devil will use to make anybody feel they are lower than who they are. Because God made man in his image.
Take your seat in the presence of the Lord.
What are roots of rejection? Number two is human conspiracies and betrayals. Human conspiracies and betrayals. When trusted friends and loved ones conspire with the enemy and betray trust. They conspire with your enemy and betray your trust. It can lead to a feeling of rejection. You just feel all alone. This is the man you think was your friend. This is the man you think if you have a problem, they should send for him. In case you have any trouble, send for this man. The same man now becomes the friend of your enemies and just betray your trust. You just feel all alone in the world. Hello? It's like you are walking. Three of you are walking. Somebody is on the left. Another one is on the right. Somebody is at the back. And you are moving together. And you are so engrossed in what you are doing. Suddenly you look right, you couldn't see this one. You look left, you couldn't see this one. You look back, you couldn't see the one at the back. What kind of life is this? So I really don't have anybody I can confide in. I really don't have anybody I can call a friend. So I really don't, I thought that I was investing in people. I thought that I was giving my best to my trusted friends and associates. So I really don't have anybody in my life. When people you love and value decide to leave your company, the reason why, this is the first time I am preaching this type of message in 26 years of pastoring. You should be able to look left and find people, look right and find people, look back and find people, because you have been truthful to them, you have been true with them, and you have given out your best. But suddenly you look, you can't find anybody. You realize it is not you they want, but anything you had. I thought we are friends. In fact, you have brought me to a point where I'm addicted to you. And then suddenly you don't need me anymore. The worst form of pain is not physical, it's emotional. That is what makes people commit suicide. When they are faced with situations that they don't know, the pain is beyond physical. A man that will have friends
should show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than the brother.
When human conspiracies and betrayals happen, it is a feeling of being unwanted, a feeling of being unneeded, a feeling of being inadequate. When they leave you, your friend that you thought was your friend, you thought was your bosom friend and your confidant and all that, the question you like to ask yourself at times is, what is wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? It's rejection. If your father rejected you, your mother rejected you, friends rejected you, anything, anybody rejected you,
I want to let you know there is hope for you. Because here was the stone that was rejected of the builders. Here was the stone that was rejected of the builders. It's now become the head of the corner. It's now become the head of the corner. Now become the head of the corner. Here was the stone that was rejected of the builders. Here was the stone that was rejected of the builders. It's now become the head of the corner.
There are people who will be shocked to see where we are today. Who didn't give us the benefit of the doubt. They didn't even give us the chance to succeed or fail. They already concluded at our beginning. Because if they see potential in you, they won't leave you. If the father who refused to father you knew that you will become something, he would want to hang around you while you are a child, but he didn't know. If the man knew who said he won't marry you again, what God has wired in you. They don't know.
I want to love and love and love, Lord, like you do. For when you love someone, you love them all the way. You place your love in us.
Play the lyrics for me. I was the stone that was rejected. Can you? Is that a chorus, right? I was the stone that was rejected. Yes. Right, let's take it.
Your love has made the world of thief sing my life. I was the stone that was rejected by the world. But when you placed your love, the hands upon my life,
you lifted me.
You lifted me above the words and will of me. Your love has made the world of thief. In my life, I was the stone that was rejected by the wall. But when you placed your loving hands upon my life, you lifted me above the words and will of men.
There were those who looked at us and said, what do you think you can become? This kind of people don't reach anywhere. All manner. People around, people within family, all manner. We do not struggle to see anybody. In Malawi, president and his wife, the whole of the executive cabinet were in the meeting. Zambia.
vice president of Zambia and all the people in that country, the mayor of the city, all were in the leadership meeting. Kenya, we came back from Kenya yesterday. President of Kenya and his wife. It's not a matter of what people think about you or what they think you will amount to. The question is, what is God saying? Oh, when you love someone. They don't know. That was why you experienced all those childhood things. The devil doesn't know what you carry. But I'd like you to know that the reason for most rejections is the unction that is to come. Is the distinction that is to come. The devil tries to fight you until you, it appears like you are, you just give up and you say, I can't become anything. I can't amount to anything. But that devil is a liar. For who is he that saith it? And it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not. He frustrated the tokens of liars. He make a diviner's mad. He disappoints the devices of the crafty. So their hands cannot perform their enterprise. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Like I said, many of us at times you ask yourself, what is wrong with me? I am here to answer you. Nothing is wrong with you. They didn't leave you because something was wrong with you. There may be situations where something may be wrong and somebody left, but nothing is wrong with you. You are facing the reality of life. And because there is a future, there is a possibility, there is something ahead of you. If I get the liberty to tell you my full story one day, you will understand what I'm talking about. Human conspiracies. And number three, root of rejection is negative human tags and labels. Negative human tags, negative labels. A situation where some people are superior to others. You remember Animal Farm? All animals are equal, but some are more equal than the others. There are places in our world today where some people are labeled royal family, others non-royal family. Some are outcasts and some are superior castes. There are places where they say, oh, these people are slave people. Oh, the other family is a slave family. This one is, they are not. Bastard, yeye devil. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 26. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. The Bible said, and he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. He made of one blood. There's no slave blood and free blood. He made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free,
There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. No bond means no slave. Every demonic agenda that is designed to cause low self-esteem and rejection, to limit your potential, it is over forever. Somebody say a loud amen. My father said when he grew up, he realized that from his side, nobody has been a traditional ruler or the chief of the land. So he asked one elderly man from the place where people have been coming as chiefs. And he said, excuse me, sir, why is it that nobody has come from our place? Is something wrong with us? The man said, no. Why has nobody come? He said, because nobody has come out. He said, all right, I come out. Very rugged man. Making money, lorries brand new, luxury buses brand new. He abandoned that to fight that fight. See, I come out. They came from every quarter. He defeated them, pulled them down, and then was crowned. He was on that seat for almost 40-something years. From there, became paramount of the whole local government. He said, I fought a battle not for me, but for everybody. While he was still there, he was still doing business, luxury buses on the road, lorries on the road, everything. But he said, I could have done far further if this chieftaincy didn't tie me down. He said, but let me fight it for everybody. You have the right to fight it, brother. There is nothing wrong with you. You are going to tell the devil, there is nothing wrong with me. There is nothing wrong with my family. There is nothing wrong with my lineage. There is nothing wrong with my generation. There is nothing wrong with me. I am stepping out. Take your seat and let me give you just 3 points on the treatment of rejection. Solution number one, understand your placement in God. Understand your placement in Christ. Understand your placement in God. Understand your placement in Christ. In Psalm 139 and in verse 14, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Isaiah 43 and in verse 21. Isaiah 43 and in verse 21. He said, these people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. They shall not show my shame. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, not a rejected person, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Ephesians 2, chapter 4, and in verse 6, all the way to verse 6. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace he has saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't exist in the low places. Your existence is in the heavenly places. This scripture will help you in case you have been rejected. See your therapy. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted. Where we had been rejected by anybody, Jesus Christ has made us accepted in the beloved. And if Jesus has accepted you, who is he that can reject you? If you have been accepted in the beloved, the rejection of nobody means nothing. Shout the loudest, yes. You have been accepted in the beloved. It doesn't matter who, what devil is trying to make you rejected. It is inconsequential. I walk with shoulders high, not in arrogance, but with a healthy self-worth anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world. Before any power, before any ruler. Why? Because I am too aware of who I am. Your opinion of me is immaterial, inconsequential, remotely disconnected, irrelevant. Go with your local mentality. I am thinking global and thinking celestial. Don't let anybody give you a feeling that you are unnecessary, unneeded. The feeling, just find your level. What I preached in this first service on low self-esteem, I'd like you to listen to it. This message is the twin of that one. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Number two, understand that God, how do you treat rejection? Number two treatment is understand that God is attracted to the rejected. Understand that there is an unction for rejection. Let me complete it. There is an unction for rejection to produce distinction. When you are rejected, God puts an oil on your life to cause you to stand out, so that those who rejected you will not know where to turn their face. Anywhere they turn, they see you. Anywhere they look, you are there. I see a child here that is going to become so important. The father or the mother that rejected you will regret the rest of their life, and they will try to make amends with you. Shout, yes! Take your seat. There is an unction for rejection to produce distinction. What is the meaning of that? Make demands and take advantage of that unction. In case you feel rejected, say, Lord, you who anointed David in the midst of rejection, anoint me. Matthew 21, verse 42, talked about the stone that was rejected. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. You remember David? Remember Joseph? His brethren rejected him until they sold him to slavery. What became of David? Prime minister. Joseph, prime minister. You remember David? All of them rejected him. When they asked them to call for a king, they didn't call him. They didn't consider him a kingly material. God abandoned all of them and went and anointed him in the wilderness. It doesn't matter where people keep you. What is important is the God that is keeping you. Even if you are not in their company, it does not matter. Just remain in the company of God. Ay, 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 ay. After coming from Kenya and preaching day and night and day and night and day and night, I traveled hours yesterday to arrive Abuja. I don't have any right to be preaching with such fire. I need to stand and preach calm. But when you mention rejection, my wife said inside the aircraft, she said, won't you sleep one inch? I said, I'm not blinking. I sat throughout the flight. I was writing and writing what you are hearing now. Four hours plus, going to 5 hours. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Because it does something to me. It does something to me. It does something to me. Because I have had some experiences, it does something to me. I announce to you today that anointing is coming upon your life. It's coming upon your life. It will surprise those who think you are amounting to nothing. Shout, yes! Daniel was a slave, elevated by the same anointing. Esther was a slave, orphan, elevated by the same anointing. For those they think are not important, they are not royal, they don't belong. They are the low class. They are the low caste. God is about to shock our nation and shock your community and shock your family. I speak by the apostolic and the prophetic mandate. The part of your community, including your own part, where they say people are not important. Important people shall come out of there to the shock of the community. And that shall begin with you. If God was to consult people before he elevate people, there are so many people who will not go up. If God was to go and be asking questions, what of this man? Can I raise him? Say, no. His family is not a good one. No. His people are not meant to be chiefs. No. But the good thing is, doesn't consult people. He will do it by himself. If you like, kill yourself. Hey! 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 Remain standing, and as I say, number three. Thirdly, refuse to accept any negative or malicious label of the enemy. Refuse it. Any negative or malicious label of the enemy. Refuse it. It doesn't belong to you. Return them back to hell. Kick them to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3 to 6. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is complete, cast it down, cast it down. If they insult me, should I insult them back? Find out from David and Goliath. When Goliath spoke, analyze how David spoke. That will give you how to answer. He said, come and I will throw you to the dogs. Is that a good thing to say? One day Herod sent people to go and arrest Jesus. Bring him. Let me crucify him. Bring him here. You know what he told them? Go and tell that dog. He used the word fox. Fox is mad. It's wild dog. Tell that wild dog. Bush dog. That today I do miracle, tomorrow I do miracle, third day I'm perfected. He can do nothing about it. Just learn how to reply. I'm not asking you to insult people. Archbishop Benson in the house, that man was such a man. He will go to a sanctuary filled with white people, 100%. Say, you white people. There is a way you used to think. Change your mind. We need many of those lions. One day, a white man told him they were eating, at a buffet. And the way he was eating his meat. The man said, don't eat bone like that. Only dogs eat bone like that in our country. And then the man was also eating salad
with the leaves.
He said, don't eat grass like that. Only goats eat grass like that in our country. Is that one or not? Those days where people are maltreating you and doing all manner of things and you are swallowing it up and feeling low and inferior and dejected is over forever. At least the minimum you can do is disconnect your life from such an atmosphere. At least, that's the least. Just ensure that you don't position yourself to be reduced. Just find another climate, another level. You don't position yourself to be reduced. You don't position yourself to be devalued. Anywhere we have gone around the world, the whitest of the white will be looking at me and my wife. I say, you look so sharp. You look so great. Can you tell me about yourself? There is one day we're traveling from London Heathrow to Israel, Tel Aviv, Israel. And a white woman, she should be about 65, 70 years old with her husband. They were struggling with seat position at the back. So I heard them talking. And I was wondering what was. Before I knew it, the woman came to me and said, why did they sit me on seat number 8? I was wondering. And my husband is on number 7, something like that. And I was wondering what's going on here. So I said, let's talk to the flight attendants. The husband said, you know, the husband was the one who said it. The husband said, she said, because of this seating arrangement, let her go and talk to the owner of the aircraft. And the husband said, if you have problem, is it the owner you will go and talk to? Let's talk to the attendant. He said, no, I'll meet the owner direct. That is me. And the husband said, both of them were, I said, me? Okay. Go and talk to the flight attendants. Let them attend to you. In a commercial flight, there is something about how you feel about yourself that fills your climate. Your emotion carries presence. Your mentality creates your reality. There is something about how you feel inside that is translated around in your climate. Don't move about feeling apologetic and looking for, I'm apologizing for everything. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say the loud most amen. Say amen at the top of your voice. Say a louder believers, amen.